Greetings to all of us here this afternoon. It's been a real joy to be here already. Last night, this morning, I think all of us, our hearts have been getting warmed and our desire after God has been increasing, hasn't it? It's a blessing. And the subject we have here is a very big subject. I think we're all aware of it. And I think we need the Lord's help to again be here. Could we all just stand to our feet and we'll pray? Father, we look at this big subject of immorality. And we know, Lord, Your will for the church. We know it very well. But Lord, You know where we find ourselves. And Lord, You know, even in our own fellowships back home, individuals who are struggling in various areas of immorality, and maybe even today. God, as we look at Your Word and as we try to understand how to help and how to walk beside some of these dear people, we'd ask in Jesus' name that You'd be here with us. Continue with us, Lord. We ask that You'd give me thoughts and inspiration. And I ask, Lord, that this time could be a time when we just endeavor to understand some of the things that happen in people's hearts and lives with it all. Help us, Lord, to be true ministers of the gospel and help people, brothers and sisters, come to a walk of purity, a walk of that's pleasing with You, pleasing to You, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask, give me thoughts and inspiration, and thank You for being here. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I believe for all of us as leaders, over the years we have found ourselves in places and in situations where we have endeavored to help people where they are, and we feel we've failed. Do we identify with that? I feel that way. 12 years ago, and this wasn't a situation with immorality, but 12 years ago, I remember the day, there's a couple that had been coming to our church for a time, and they had a pretty major marriage struggles. And while they were attending our fellowship, and we were endeavoring to help them, they separated. And I remember the agony in my own heart as I considered the things that maybe I could have done different or I should have done different, and the struggles they were facing and all those types of things. We all have that, don't we? We all face those kind of things. And so this afternoon, I know the short time we have here, both this afternoon and tomorrow, we probably won't be able to do justice to the subject at all. But maybe we can take some steps forward. Today, I'd like to be specifically looking at freedom from the grips of immorality. And tomorrow, I'd like to be focusing more on what we can do in preventing some of these things in our local churches. I believe that many of us have failed in these things and we don't know how. We struggle. I'd like to focus on some of that tomorrow on the prevention side. But today, I'd like for us to consider some things concerning freedom. Are people becoming free from the grips of immorality? If there are situations come up in our local churches, some things that as we look at scriptures and look at the principles in God's Word, and I'd like to say that there are many, many churches that have look to the world for answers in some of these struggles. And I'd like to just encourage us to come back to the Word of God. The Word of God does have the answers. It really does. And we'd like to look at that this afternoon. Maybe first of all, there's just a couple of things I'd like to look at before we go into the heart of it. That I'd like to mention that is pretty important for us as leaders. One is on the side of us as leaders walking in a way that our people want to open their hearts to us. You know what I'm saying with that? It seems like because we're in leadership, there's people always look at us and we have more responsibility. And it seems like there's a lot of people within our own churches that are a little bit scared of us. And I'd like to just encourage us. One of the best things that we can do as leaders to bring those things to a very low level is to become very honest with our own personal life. Once we start opening our heart with the struggles that we have in our own life, and we have them, and maybe we don't here. Okay? But we have them, right? There's many leaders that because of the responsibility they carry, they're very slow to open up to their own struggles because they're, you know, we want to help our people. I'd like to suggest the more open and honest we can be with our own people, the more that they're going to start opening their hearts to us, and our ability to bring them to a place of freedom will increase. Just this past, this past year, I was preaching at a Bible school. And at the end of the Bible school, there's a young man, he came to me. And he said he wanted to talk, and we had some time together, and we sat there. And when we sat there, I had never talked with this man much, you know, a couple comments during the Bible school. But as we sat there, one of the things he said in the beginning, he said, you know, I have some things that I need to open my heart, and I've wanted to for a long time. But he said, as you kept opening your heart and sharing the struggles that you face and the things you go through, he said, I came to the place that I felt like I could open my heart to you. And here's just a little bit of some information that I thought it would be good for us to know. And I'm not going to go into these types of things a lot, but there are some research studies that have been done on this whole subject of addictions, be it immorality, sexual immorality, abuse, be it pornography, be it substance addictions like alcohol and drugs. And there's studies that have been done that say that if a young person coming up through comes to the age of around 24, in that age somewhere, our brains come to a complete maturity. And if a person during those growing up years has never gotten into any type of those types of addictions, the chances that they will get into an addiction of that level in the future is very minimal. And I'm saying that from the perspective that we do well as leaders to take note of those types of things with our people in their growing up years. And there's a lot of things we could talk about and how to come to you know, what we should and should not do in regards to technology and all types of things. And I don't think I'll take time to go there. But consider that carefully. Think about that. Think about that. If young people come up through, and in those, and those types of addictions, immorality, sexual immorality, sexual abuse, pornography, drugs, alcohol, if they have not gotten addicted to those things growing up, coming up to that age, the chances is very minimal that they will after that. It's possible, but it's minimal. If they have, coming up through, there's things that they tend to struggle with in the ongoing years. Just recently, there's a new family started attending our local fellowship. After he was attending some time, he opened his heart. Actually, just a short time, he opened his heart. And this is what he said. He said, I came for some help. I knew I needed help. I came for some help. But he went back and he said, I was involved in this sexual immorality as a young person for years. And I came up and I got converted and I was free for a number of years. Quite a number of years he was a free man. But there came a time in his journey of life that he had tremendous discouragement. And in that time of discouragement, in that low time in his life, he fell back into it again. That's what I'm talking about. In these subjects, specifically when there's a tremendous level of addiction or struggle, ongoing, a high level of ongoing struggle, I think it's good for us to realize that there's no quick fix. And what I mean by that is, through the blood and power of Jesus Christ, He can come and He can cleanse and He can make pure and He can give power to overcome. And yet there's going to be some of those tendencies that are going to be there that they need discipleship, and we need to walk beside them till they come to a place of maturity and long-term purity. It's good for us to just view some of those things. You know, we'd like to have these quick fixes, right? We'd like to have these quick fixes. But we need to view them, some of these, especially, specifically the more stronger long-term things that they've been in, as something that will need long-term help. And if I say long-term help, I'm talking about us as leaders walking beside them, brotherhood walking beside them. Okay, there's a couple of things I'd also like to mention here in regards to people who have struggles. And I'm going to say, I'm going to make this pretty broad. People who struggle with masturbation, sexual abuse, pornography, fornication or adultery, where they're all involved, it's the whole thing. In endeavoring to help people with these types of struggles, these types of struggles are always interlinked with other struggles. Many times, we as leaders, because they have a quote sexual struggle and we focus in on that area, and we don't somehow come through, it's because there's always a broader level of struggle that's going on in that person's heart. And because of the broader struggle, those other things need to be addressed and they need help through at the same time and not just the moral struggle. Now let me give you an example. I received a phone call not so long ago from a man from some distant state. And I knew him casually, didn't know him well, didn't know he had any types of struggles of this nature. But he called me up one day. And he said, Mark, he said, I have been falling into pornography. He said, I've been falling into it on my cell phone. I have a cell phone, and I've been falling into pornography. And we dialogued about it a while, and he was saying how long it's been and some of those things. And I asked him another question. I said, now tell me this. What were you discouraged about when you started falling into that sin? He thought a while and he said, I never thought about that. And he said, and this is a young man, upper 20s, close to 30, still living at home. And he said, well, actually, I was. He said, you know, I have a tremendous struggle on relational issues with my father. And he said, I was very, very discouraged about that. And I asked him the question, what else were you discouraged about? And he thought a while. He said this. He said, you know, I guess I never really gave this any thought, but you know, I have been really discouraged because I'm in my upper 20s and I'm not married. I'm single yet. And he said, sometimes it just really gets me down. And I asked him, what else were you discouraged about? And he said, well, really? He said, you know, the church that I'm attending, I'm actually pretty distant from them. I have a ways to travel, and I'm not closely connected to them. And he said, I get discouraged. You know, he said, I don't have a whole lot of church fellowship. Okay, do you hear? See, there's a whole package of struggles, and many times because of the seriousness of a sexual issue, we tend to focus on that rather than looking at the broader picture. Because it's on this broader picture that's driving the whole thing. I ask him this. So also tell me this. From the time that you fell this last time, how long before that were you in this level of discouragement? And he said, let me think. And he said, probably 2 days. Okay, so he was, you know, going up and down. And for 2 days, he was at a low level. He was very discouraged, very discouraged. And then on the heels of that, he fell into pornography. Okay, so I think all of us know that sexual sins, those types of sins, they start back here, and there comes a place on down through here where there's almost like no return, right? Okay? 2 days before, there was an intense struggle that started going on in this young man's heart. An intense struggle. And if that could have been taken care of 2 days before, do you see the difference? Learning to identify those types of things. And so with this young man, his interlinked struggles in this situation were, first of all, he had a wrong view of God, and we'll talk about that more. He had relationship struggles with his father. He was struggling that he was single and unmarried. He was disconnected with the church and leadership. There was no close accountability, and there was no blocks on his phone device. He was just free to do whatever he wanted. Why wouldn't a man fall into sin? In the same type of thinking of things being interlinked, I like to suggest that we also need to view these types of problems as being interlinked with other people. So, if For this young man, he was closely interlinked with his father. Many, many times when there's young men who struggle with masturbation, as an example, there's struggles between that young man and his father. There's not a closeness between the young man and his father. And there's other people, many times others can get involved and help, endeavor to help them. And yet there's this conflict in his life between him and his parents or other struggles, and he doesn't get through it. I'd like to suggest that always, always, these types of things are interlinked. If there is a husband and a wife, and a man gets into pornography, for example, or into adultery, if you listen to the things that are going on in their life on a day-to-day basis, you will find that there are struggles between him and his wife that are triggering, or that are that he's struggling with. And it's when he's in that struggle that he tends to go to this sin. And so the tragedy is, many times we endeavor to help a person overcome these sexual sins, not realizing there's other things that are involved. I encourage us, there's a need to view these types of problems with the surrounding people that he's with on a daily level that are contributing factors to people like that falling into sin. And I take that from simple things like, if I say simple, masturbation, pornography, fornication, adultery, sexual abuse, all of those types of things, they're always interlinked. And many times these people are, quote, sent off to a counseling center, separated from their struggles. They get some, quote, help. They come back to their setting and they fall right back into it. These types of struggles are always interlinked with other people. This is the type of thing that comes many times. There's maybe a wife or a husband, or maybe a young son that'll say, you know, when we talk about just sitting down with the parents and the young son, say, well, I just don't think I can be open with my mom and dad like I can with others. And because that gets put out there, people back away from it. I like to suggest that that's part of the problem. That's a part of the problem. There's a need to become totally open and viewed as those that are close to him. Those relationships are contributing factors in the struggles that they're facing. Many times, leaders, people who work with these type of situations, view moral struggles as primarily a discipline issue. I'd like to suggest that it's not a discipline issue. Actually, let me say it this way. It plays into it, but it's not the foundational nor the primary reason. It can be a part of it, but it's never the foundational issue. Now, sometimes we have families who are maybe undisciplined. And so when there's immorality, it's viewed that the lack of discipline is a problem. I like to suggest that it can be a contributing factor, but it's not the primary or the foundational problem. There are this afternoon six things that I'd like to put out here that I like to suggest are at the heart of the things that people struggle with on this level. There are six things. When we look at these sins, these moral sins of masturbation, pornography, sexual abuse, fornication, adultery, all of those things, I'd like to suggest that there are six things. And I'm not a professional at this, but here's some things that I'd like to just put out. Maybe you have some other things that you like to, afterward, that you have that are also contributing factors. That's fine. And maybe this isn't all, but there are six things that I'd like to put out here this afternoon that are at the heart of a biblical perspective of why people fall into these types of sins. Six things. The first, and I'm going to say the greatest, is there is a lack of the fear of God. A lack of the fear of God is at the heart of the reason that people fall into these types of sins. I was working with a young man here some time ago, and he had these struggles, these moral sins, sins. These sins that he was involved in. And, you know, as we talked in dialogue, you know, he had come for some help and, you know, parents had gotten involved and all those types of things. But in the course of the conversation, I asked him this question. I asked him the question, so tell me this, a young man, if in your local town, they would have this policy, this rule, that any time that a person falls into this sin, they take them to the center of the city, they tie them to the pole, they get a couple hundred people around, and they have a public whipping or flogging. Tell me, would you ever do that again? He looked at me and said, no. Do you follow? There was something within him that immediately there was fear that rose up. And there was a fear of what people thought, a fear of the whipping. But there's no fear of God. There's no fear of God. The fear of God was missing. Let me give you another scenario. Talk to a man. Ask him, so tell me this. If you're driving down the road and you know in an hour or so you're going to be coming past this adult store and you have plans to stop in there. You know, all these things are planned, right? You know, they're always planned. You know, there's this thing that happens back here. They think about it and allow themselves to go there. I said, tell me this. If on the way, all of a sudden, there'd be a hitchhiker and he'd pull over and, you know, and he'd hop in your truck and you talk a while and you discover that it's an angel. And the angel says, I'm just going to ride with you today. You know, I'm just going to ride with you. And I'll ride with you wherever you go today. And at the end of the day, after, you know, when you head for home, you can drop me off. Tell me this. Would you stop in there? He said, no. Do you follow? There is a lack of the fear of God in the hearts of people. People that are into this kind of stuff, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And until the fear of God comes into their life, we can put all kinds of things into place. All kinds of accountability. And there's all kinds of things you can try to help. Let me tell you, it's the fear of God that brings men to repentance. Listen to these words in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 7. It says these words, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Right there it is, right? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we want to help a person overcome in these areas, they need to come to the place where there's a fear of God in their hearts to commit these sins. Proverbs 16 and verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Right? By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Many times, after having committed some of these sins, there's this feeling of utter disgust, misery. They hate themselves. Let me tell you, that's not a hatred of sin. That's a hatred for the consequences, but not a hatred for sin. James 1, verse 12 through 15 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." In the middle of helping people come to a place where they clearly see their sin, it's also important to help them understand the need to receive the grace and mercy of God and the forgiveness of sin. They need both. They need both. There are times when a person has a hard heart. There are times when a person has come to where he's grieved the Spirit and his heart has become hard. He doesn't see himself. There's times that it's right for a leader to fast with a man like this for a week and a half. For a week and a half on bread and water. Spend his days listening to the preaching of the Word for an hour, doing Bible studies on sin, on the wages of sin, doing Bible memory, prayer, all those kind of things. There's a value. I've seen many a man, we've done this frequently, when it seems like all else has failed, a man becomes very broken. He becomes broken. A man humbles himself before God. Isaiah, I believe, 63 has some beautiful definition for that. Okay, number two. we need to move forward quickly here. Number two, a person that is clearly converted. I like to lift that up. A person needs to be clearly converted. And when there's these extreme, what I'm going to call extreme situations, many times we find that at the bottom of that, a person who has never clearly repented of all his sins, come to the place where God has washed him clean and he has put his faith in Jesus Christ. There's times that he confessed some sins and made an acknowledgement and got baptized, became a part of the church. But I like to suggest If there is a long, ongoing, long-standing problem, it's good to consider very carefully whether that person has ever come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John says it very clearly. 1 John, we're going to start reading in chapter 3. And we're just going to break in here. It says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." And let me just clarify, I'm not talking about these situations where a person has fallen into sin and we help him through. I'm talking about long-standing, deep-rooted issues where it just seems like there's no coming through. Look very closely. A person needs to be clearly converted. Look at those things closely. Number three, honesty and walking in the light. Honesty and walking in the light. In many of these situations where men have come to deep sin, deep moral failure, there has been a progression of these people walking in hidden in darkness, where they hide. They're not totally honest with what's really going on in my heart. Not honest with their brothers. Not honest with their family. There's a deep-rooted issue of covering everything up. It's huge. I'm going to say that this whole thing of covering up is just as big as the sin itself. See, the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And men who have lived in deception year after year after year and covered up, there is it has become so much a part of their life that it's just as big as the sin itself of immorality. And then some of those things seem to come off in layers. You know, you work with a person and they choose to open their hearts and they start uncovering. They uncover. And you meet again and you go after this hidden, all this hiding, and there's another layer comes off, and you know, and then there was a commitment, you know, to talk with, you know, that the wife has a freedom to come to leadership and just say what it is, and when that happens, you know, he gets frustrated with the wife because she came. Well, let me just tell you, you know, there's something in the heart that doesn't want to just open up all the way and be totally honest with every struggle and everything that's in there. There is this hiding that's going on. Right? John chapter 3, verse 19 says these words, "And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, let me suggest that especially in these things that have been very difficult to unravel, and you've worked with them and can't seem to get there, there's many times there's a need to go back and hear their whole life story and hear all the things that has happened and have them open their hearts all the way to where there's nothing hidden. And not only do that, but make a commitment of walking in honesty day by day. There's something about a person becoming very honest with who they really are and the struggles that are going on in their hearts that brings a fear of God. It brings a fear of God. They realize that all of a sudden when their deeds become open and manifest and it's all there, all of a sudden it bears down, it brings responsibility on their actions. And their heart becomes more open. Or more, there's a fear of God as they totally dedicate themselves in that way. Men who are in deep moral sin, at times they are loners. Not always, but at times they are loners. Let me just tell you, people that are loners who live in this type of sin, that loner mentality militates against openness and honesty and purity. It militates against it. For a young person, for a teenager, he needs to open his heart to his dad. For a married person, he needs to open his heart to his spouse and the leadership in church, whoever is working with him. He needs to open those things all the way. You know, sometimes it's embarrassing, and it's easier to do to people who aren't as close to me. But you know, if I need to tell my wife, and I need to tell my dad, you know how it is. Those dear young men in our churches who maybe struggle with masturbation, get them to open up to their dad too. Sit beside them. Have them open up to their father and work together with them in a joint, combined effort. And have them become totally honest and look at some of these, where some of these things start. Make decisions and choices to move forward. Number four, fleeing temptation. Fleeing temptation. I'm going to suggest that there's many, many people who have fallen into sin, into deep levels of sin, but they feel like if I become very open, if I've confessed, I should be strong enough to go back right by where those temptations were. And I should be strong enough to do that. There's many of them that feel like there's something wrong with them if they can't go to town by themselves and they need someone to go with them. They think there's something wrong with them. Right? They think, well, I should be able to go to town by myself. Or men say, well, I should be able to go out on the job all by myself. But you know what happens? He's done it so often. And the day that he goes out on the job by himself, without someone with him, it happens. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Right? But many times, there's this ego in people's hearts, and they don't see the need to flee from the temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 says, flee also youthful lusts. Flee. And we all know what that means, right? Run. But follow righteousness, charity, peace with them that call out to God with a pure heart. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I like to suggest that God has made us as men with a reserve in some of those areas. And if we become converted and we serve God, there's a reserve. You know, we go to town and we meet a flirtatious lady, and there's something within us that we have the strength with God's help to just draw back. But a man who has fallen into adultery, there's something, according to these verses here, he sinneth against his own body. There's something that has happened that has been destroyed. And his ability to resist sin in some of those areas is not there. Now, it can come back. If a man lives faithfully for a long time, some of those things can come back again. But if a man commits adultery and fornication, some of those things, he sins against his own body, and some of those reserves that we have are gone for a long period of time until we can walk faithfully. Some of those things slowly come back again. And it's for that reason that people need to realize that I can't do what other people do. It's for that reason that I can't do what these others do who have never been in it. Fleeing, running. That's huge. Brothers, we need to help them understand what fleeing means. So, where do you get tempted? What's happening before that? All of those types of things, and understanding the path and the journey that happens that brings a person to where they are. We need to help them come back here and recognize the roads that people take to end up over there. They need to be identified in that person's mind. They have to understand them. If they don't recognize it, they're going to do it again. But it's back here, the path that takes a person to a no return, falling into sin. The path, when it starts, we need to help them recognize and understand what's really going on in their heart and be able to flee back here, not over here. Fleeing starts way back here, not right upon the decision. Making escape routes is what I'm talking about, you know? So it's good to help a person think through what happened different times and help them put a plan together. The next time I face that situation, what's the right thing for me to do? Help them have a plan so they understand and they're able to step forward. If we don't help them understand that, quote, escape route, they likely won't come through. It's important to identify the things that brings impure thoughts, whether it's music, whether it's actions, whether it's magazine racks, whether it's verbal abuse on the job or in the home, maybe some silly friends, maybe it's a bank teller, maybe it's waiters, maybe it's cashiers, maybe it's idle time, maybe it's a phone. Maybe it's in the morning or maybe it's in the evening when the temptation comes. It's needful to help them sort through what is really bringing them to the place where these temptations begin. and give them a plan where they know what the next step is. That next step could be a phone call to you as a leader. It could be a phone call to a husband. It could be a phone call to a wife. It could be, you know, starting to sing. You know, all of those types of things. Many times when you ask a person, so what will it take for you to overcome? Whether it's a device, or whether it's some moral sin, and if you just ask them, if you would do this, what would happen? Would you overcome? They normally know, right? They normally know. We help them to flee youthful lusts. Here's another one, number five. Number five. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a big one, right? Recently I was talking to a young man and he told me this. He said, I was struggling with masturbation and I've been having victory. And then he said, I had this week where I just felt I was too busy. I just had too much going. And guess what? I fell into masturbation again. But he said, for quite some time, he said, I was doing well. I didn't fall into it. But when his level of filling himself with the Word of God diminished, all of a sudden, his level of power and ability to overcome went out the door. This is a powerful verse. Psalms 119, verse 11, it says this way, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. All these sins, people are sinning against God Almighty. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. This is a big one. If we want to help our people overcome, our people need to come to the place where they fill themselves with the Word of God. There's many ways that that can be done. It can be done by reading. It can be done by listening to the Bible. It can be done through memorization. There's many, many ways that we can fill our minds with the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. That's the Bible, right? That's the Bible. It's a very big and vital part of overcoming. Number six, persistent, continued discipleship. You know, brothers, we're busy, aren't we? And we don't have time to be discipling people every week. Right? We're all, you know, we're busy. And we've got lots of other stuff. We need to make a living. We have other people that we need to meet with as well. I'd like to suggest that people who have lived in continued sin many times need continued discipleship over a period of time. And we dare not have the attitude that they're just a nuisance, they're just a bother. But I use this word persistent. Brothers, there's a need for us to persistently pursue them. There's many of these men who will never come through unless us as leaders are persistent. They'll never come through. They never will. There's a need for us as leaders to accept our responsibility. And I know that there's times when we're busy I'm going to suggest that there's times that, you know, we can work through the main thing and put things into place where things are moving forward and then have other brothers move in and help us. But we need to be persistent. If we're not persistent in helping people who have these issues in our local church, they'll never come through. They'll never come through. Scripture also teaches about church discipline. And there's a place for all that. If a man closes his heart and refuses instruction, and he doesn't want input in his life, and he covers up, and he's not willing to work, the Bible gives us instruction how to handle those situations. But it also gives us responsibility as leaders to help those who are struggling in our midst. Persistent, continued discipleship. Now, I'd like to just put something out here yet as a question for us, because I see a big gap in many churches. Many churches have understandings and policies in their church of what's accepted when it comes to internet usage, devices, social media, all those kind of things. Right? I feel it's very important. And tomorrow we'll get into more the side of how to keep our people from getting into some of those things more extensively on the younger side. But let me just put out this question. What you have put out there in your church, for your church, is that where the people are? Or is there a gap? And you don't know where they are. You follow what I mean? Many, many, many churches have their policies and their understandings. And because of the expectations, many leaders assume that that's where the people are. I'm going to suggest that unless we're closely connected with our people, there's going to be a gap. And we can have all the regulations we want, but that won't keep the people. It won't do it. And I have a question. In your local fellowship, do you really know where your young people are? What they're listening to? What they're looking at? What they're involved in on a day-to-day basis? Do you? The reason I'm asking this question is in many, many churches, there's a gap. There's this gap. Expectation and really where the people are. There's a gap. That gap is a problem. That gap is a problem. And that's where things are. I think us as leaders need to humble ourselves and not be rough and tough, but press into those things with an understanding heart and find out and be able to walk beside and bring people to a clear place so they don't fall in. So some of these things don't ever start. So they never start. Is it God's will that every one of us walk in purity? And what about our people? We need to lift up the standard high. And not do so in a condemning attitude and spirit, but do so by coming and walking beside our people, discipling them, understanding where they are, being able to give them clear instruction and guidance in these areas so they can remain pure. If we as leaders don't give guidance in these things, our people will get into sin. They will. They will. It's our responsibility. Freedom from the grips of immorality. May the Lord help us. These things are ever pressing, and I haven't found all the answers. But Lord, help us to grow in these things and to be able to take these things seriously. The Bible has the answers. These scriptures are very clear on these issues. Let's take that seriously.